I was telling a story when we were rudely interrupted by the commercials and news. It's an important story. By summary, if I were to tell you, and I have, that the Christian population of Iraq has been decimated since America's invasion of that country, falling from 1.2 million down to essentially zero. If I were to tell you that the Muslim Ottoman Turks, following a defeat at the hands of the Russians in World War I, came back through the same region and viciously murdered 2 million Assyrian Christians just to assuage their bloodlust. That's a horrible figure. But it doesn't resonate. If, however, you were to watch a single video of a man having his head cut off by a religious zealot, of him drowning in his own blood, of the screams of agony, and the religious passion of the man who thought that he was doing a service to his God and to his religion by severing the man's head. If you were to watch one of those, pierce your soul. Change him. If you were to see pictures and hear the testimony of one girl who was raped by Boko Haram, change your entire perspective. One girl who was savagely mutilated by her mom. The story of one girl hunted down by her parents in an honor killing, tortured by her own parents. It's the gripping details of individual savagery that open our eyes. It's then that we are forced to confront what kind of evil motivates a person to be this inhuman. That's what matters. And when politicians and businesses pull video images like this, as opposed to this video should have been in every news broadcast. And it should be, you know, if you've got a child that's under the age of 10 years old, please tell them to look away. But the rest of America, the rest of the world needs to see his head cut off. They need to have to be jolted into a position. They do what I did 13 or 14 years ago. 13 years ago. Right after Muslims screaming, Allahu Akbar, my God Allah is greater than yours, as suicide bombers into the World Trade Centers and into the Pentagon, decide that it's important that we understand the mindset, the motivation for such inhuman savagery. It's only then that the lies of the media, the lies of politicians, the lies of the religious that says, oh, Islam is a lovely religion, it's a peaceful religion, it's an Abrahamic religion, and it's the extremists who have corrupted their religion, that all of that, all of a sudden, the lies aren't palatable anymore. You need answers. You need to connect the evidence that you've witnessed before your eyes with the motivation that causes such disgusting behavior. Now, on SRN, which is a religious news source, and it's despicable. It's one of the reasons that I have such lack of support for and by GCN is I think it's just horrendous that this religious news source is on every program. They interviewed somebody that says, yeah, they pulled this right out of the playbook of Al-Qaeda. That's what this was. What you saw here was the playbook of Al-Qaeda. Okay there, pal. You know, I don't recall reading. I've done a lot of research. I think I know Islam as better as well as anybody on the planet today. I've studied the formation of Al-Qaeda and how America aided and abetted them in the first Afghanistan war. I know them pretty well. I don't recall ever coming across a playbook of Al-Qaeda. If there is a playbook on Al-Qaeda, why haven't the rest of us seen it? Because there is no playbook of Al-Qaeda. And the Islamic State is not only not Al-Qaeda, they despise Al-Qaeda. You know, this idea that we can blame all of this on Al-Qaeda, all of the savagery, all of the convert or die to the Zoroastrians, all the convert or die to the Christians, all of the crucifixions of the Shias by the Sunnis, all of the hundreds of thousands of deaths that have taken place across greater Syria and Iraq, all of the devastation that we witness and the genocide in the Sudan and the terror state of Somalia. If this was all Al-Qaeda, they are the busiest boys on the planet. There's probably 10 members of Al-Qaeda today, maybe stretching it 100. They're obviously not getting weekends off. They need a union because they seem to be all around the world perpetrating heinous acts every minute of every day. It has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. There is no Al-Qaeda playbook. Al-Qaeda is irrelevant. And the Islamic State is an enemy of Al-Qaeda, not a derivative of them. When we constantly present erroneous information and then preclude people from seeing pertinent information, even if people were capable of exercising good judgment, if they were not affected by political correctness, we can't solve the problem. You can't fight an enemy that you don't know who that enemy is. You know, when you don't have any idea why his head was cut off and why that's not a single act of Islam, but has happened around the world, happens regularly, all while chanting the same slogans out of the Quran and Hadith, all in accordance with Muhammad's own behavior. When you don't understand that Muhammad himself, sitting on a throne in Medina, systematically had 900 men brought before him, one after another over the course of the day, had his goons slice off their heads the same way that you would have witnessed it in this video, throwing their heads and their bodies into a trench in the middle of the marketplace of Medina, while their children and their wives watched. And then he allowed his men that perpetrated this heinous crime to rape the women. And he sold the children into slavery. And then he stole the people's homes. You need to understand that there's a direct correlation between what Muhammad did and what the Islamic State did on this day. They're one and the same. There is no difference between them. There is no way to differentiate the Islamic behavior that took place by the Islamic State in cutting off the journalist's head and what Muhammad did to 900 men in Medina. Men that hadn't so much as lifted a finger to harm he or his people. Cutting off their heads one after another, while his goons shouted Allahu Akbar and then raped the women, sold those children into slavery. All Islam is comprised of, the entirety of Islam, is the Quran, which is an extraordinarily vicious book. It is a declaration of war on all humankind. It is a terrorist manifesto. And if those words sound harsh to you, read the Quran. And then read the Hadith. Start with the Sirah, Ibn Ishaq's collection of of statements from Muhammad and his companions that are arranged chronologically to create a biography of Muhammad's life, which is the basis of Sharia law and Islamic Sunnah, for which Sunni Muslims are named. You will find a man that was a pedophile, a rapist, a mass murderer, an acknowledged liar, a terrorist, a slave trader, a kidnapper. You square that, Muhammad's example, his words, with the behavior you're witnessing now, not only on 9/11, but with the murder of this journalist, and you will see a perfect fit. That's what evidence and reason is all about. Making connections. But we're, as a people, have been so dumbed down and we have so much erroneous muck that is thrown our way, like on the news on this program just moments ago. So many lies, so many distortions are published and promoted, and yet the truth is never considered. And for that very reason, Islam is amongst the biggest threats to humankind. And now you're going to hear all sorts of people, including the President of the United States, respond by saying that this was an un-Islamic act, that you can't connect the beheading to Islam, when in fact he knows for certain that the Quran celebrates beheadings, as does the Hadith, and that it is impossible to be a good Muslim and not to behead those who will not submit to Islam. He knows the truth, but he's going to lie. And if the media doesn't know the truth, shame on them. That's their job. The very definition of journalist. A job they no longer do. Because they become propagandists for political correctness. Let's continue with this story. The video posted on YouTube, later removed, purported to show the execution of James Foley. It is not purported, it is the execution of James Foley. After he recited a statement in which he called the U.S. government my real killers, a second prisoner said to be Stephen Joel Sutloff, like Foley, an American journalist who disappeared while covering Syria's civil war, then appears in the video. Now we're going to return. I've got two journalistic articles, if you want to call them that, on this story. The masked executioner, who represents the Islamic State, and it's more than just the Islamic State, it's the Islamic state of mind, speaking in English, which sounds to be like a British accent, identifies Sutloff, and he says that the life of this American citizen, Obama, depends on your next move. American intelligence officials believe the video is authentic, but are continuing to evaluate it. I've heard reports out today that it has been confirmed as legitimate. In a statement Tuesday, National Security Council spokesperson, now I'm just going to go on and say, moron, idiot. God, I wish we didn't have a National Security Council. I wish we didn't have an NSA. I wish we could do away with the CIA. They're all grotesque liabilities, immoral institutions. Counterproductive. Anyway, this is her statement of the video. She says, if genuine, it is genuine. And that's one of the things that she ought to know if that's her job. It's genuine. We are appalled by the brutal murder of an innocent American journalist. We express our deepest condolences for his friends and family. We provide more information. We'll provide more information when it's available. If you're National Security Council spokesperson and Muslims 13 years ago, flew American airliners into the Pentagon, into the World Trade Center, and murdered 3,000 people. Don't you think you'd provide some information and say, yeah, you know, beheading is part of Islam. It's been part of Islam for as long as Islam has existed. Muhammad practiced beheading. He told Muslims to behead those that are unwilling to convert to Islam. No, it's part of the fabric of Islam. What am I going to tell you? Why are we surprised? That would have been an intelligent response, but no, not from the American government. Both prisoners in the video are wearing orange jumpsuits and pants, similar to the orange jumpsuits worn by detainees at the U.S. military prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. You think that's a subtle message there? You've incarcerated ours. You tortured ours. So here's our response. You know, what we did, what the CIA did in torturing individuals was a horrible mistake. One that, you know, the CIA was, you know, finally the Congress decided to investigate the CIA for engaging in torture. And the CIA tried to dissuade the Congress from looking into their heinous behavior by spying on the Congress, by actually breaking into congressmen's and senators' computers, and by trying to blackmail them so that they wouldn't conduct that investigation. That's the CIA is a despicable organization. We'd be vastly better off as a nation if it did not exist. And what they have done has been counterproductive to the security of America. A similar outfit, believed to be a jihadist symbol of the prison, a similar outfit, believed to be a jihadist symbol of the prison, was worn by Nicholas Berg, an American businessman kidnapped in Iraq in 2004, whose execution by an Islamic State precursor organization was recorded on the video and posted online. Now, it wasn't an Islamic State precursor. The Islamic State, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. No. Just no. Wake up. The Islamic State is an offshoot of the American invasion of Iraq. There was absolutely no Al-Qaeda in Iraq before America invaded. None. The Islamic State emerged, and it emerged under the name the Islamic State, immediately after the American invasion. And the fellow who became known as al-Baghdadi, Abu al-Baghdadi, was in American custody a number of times. He was a preacher. He was an imam. He was out at being religious. And he looked at the American invasion of Iraq as the opportunity to be a good Muslim and be a mujahideen, integrating the jihad and preaching aspects of Islam. That's how it began. It began as a direct response to America's invasion in Iraq. It did not grow out of Al-Qaeda. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Al-Baghdadi had no influence whatsoever from Al-Qaeda. And finally, years after the Islamic State had built up a reasonably effective terrorist organization, that's not good, that's bad, but a decent-sized terrorist organization in Iraq, it was aided and abetted by the American Awakening Program. Rather than turning against it, it empowered it. And they began to launch many terrorist activities, terrorist bombings, particularly suicide bombings, at marketplaces and at mosques populated by Shias, because the Shias were now persecuting Sunnis, and the Islamic State was the most effective weapon against them. That's the history of the Islamic State. When major periodicals constantly perpetrate lies, and then they're repeated by other major media sources, we preclude understanding. There ought to never be a mention of Al-Qaeda, other than to say it is irrelevant. That really ought to be it. To associate the Islamic State with Al-Qaeda, as the news to this program did, as this article from the Washington Post does, is so egregious, because it causes people to think that the problem is Al-Qaeda, when Al-Qaeda is absolutely irrelevant. They've never been relevant, and they're most certainly not relevant today. Al-Qaeda isn't even in the top 250 Islamic terrorist organizations in terms of effectiveness or activity in the world today. Not even the top 250. And when Al-Qaeda was among the top 20 or 30, it was never the most important. When Al-Qaeda was doing something, it was only doing something because it was empowered by American weapons and American money in concert with the Taliban to fight a proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. And even then, they had no playbook. They had no philosophy that was unique to them. Their motivation was the Quran and Hadith, the Sunnah, the example of Muhammad. And so if you want to understand what motivates them, why they fly planes into buildings, why they cut off journalists' heads, why they tell the Christians and Zoroastrians, convert or die, why they crucify Shia Muslims, why do they do that? Why are they so prone to be jihadists? Why is 99% of the world's terrorist acts today perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims? When you want to know badly enough the answer to those questions, and you're willing to actually open your mind, let go of preconceived opinions of politicos and academicians and the media, and you actually go to the source material and read the Quran and Hadith, because after you read the Sirah, which is the first, you should read the Tariq, which is the history of Muhammad. It's written by, compiled by Al-Tabari. Al-Tabari doesn't write any of it. He compiles the Hadiths, which are all reports from Muhammad and his companions. And understand, the Quran itself is Hadith. It's an oral report from Muhammad and his companions. And if the Hadith are invalid, then so is the Quran. They come to us from exactly the same person in exactly the same way. And Islam, particularly Sharia, which is Islamic law, and Sunnah, the example of Muhammad, as well as the practice of the religion, is almost universally derived from the Hadith, not the Quran. And without the Hadith, the Quran can't be understood. It can't even be followed. Read those two sources of Hadith. Then, you know, by the way, they're not hard to find. The biography of Muhammad, is published in English by Oxford Press. You can buy a copy of it. That's called, Ibn Ishaq is the individual that compiled it. The History of Al-Tabari, which is another chronological presentation of Hadith, is published by SUNY. That's the State University of New York. You buy it as well. It comes in about 15 different volumes. In the opening letter to the reader of Prophet of Doom, I tell you specifically how you get the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad, and how you would go about getting a copy of the Tariq, the history of Muhammad, history of Islam. Tell you the volumes to buy, who the source, who the publishers are. Go read them. Your life depends on them. Read them as if it was you who were having your head cut off. And had you known the direct correlation between Muhammad cutting off hundreds of men's heads and that this man that was now wielding the sword was cutting because of Muhammad, because of what he did, and because of the religion of Islam, and that he had not corrupted Islam, that Islam had corrupted him, that had you known that, you would not have been in harm's way. And it's too late to shed your ignorance. Shed it now. Come to know the truth. Dare. Be courageous. Shed political correctness. Embrace the truth. It will set you free. So this says that the Islamic State and offshoot of Al-Qaeda, which is a complete and utter bold-faced lie, is the most powerful among a number of extremist organizations that have emerged during the Syrian civil war. It is by far the largest, most successful, best financed, best armed Islamic terrorist organization of all time, which began as a popular uprising against President Bashar al-Assad. I'm not even sure that's true. And if it did, it was just for a nanosecond. Because immediately, the Saudi Arabians and the Kuwaitis and the Qataris, who were up in arms, and you can read hundreds of reports of those nations saying that they were very uncomfortable with the consequence of the American invasion of Iraq, where America essentially took Iran's primary enemy and gave it to Iran. That's what our invasion of Iraq facilitated. And it, therefore, hugely increased the power and the influence of Shiite Islam in the heart of the Muslim world, giving them Iraq, which had been opposed to them, giving them Syria, which had been a client of Iraq, and giving them control over Lebanon, and putting them in a position to have the most influence over Hamas. And so it changed the entire paradigm of the Sunni-Shia conflict in the midst of the heart of Islam in the Middle East. And so the Saudi Arabians, who had a cleric, you know, says, you know, that the Islamic State is an enemy of Islam. Yeah, right. You armed them. You trained them. You educated them. You indoctrinated them. And what they are is now they're a threat to the monarchy of Saudi Arabia and to the clerics in Saudi Arabia who are as corrupt as the monarchs in Saudi Arabia. They're a threat to them. That's why they're speaking out against them at this point. The fact is that the Islamic State emerged out of the awakening program that America armed during the surge and out of the Sunnis who formed Mujahideen jihadist groups to counter the American invasion of Iraq. And they were very effective at terrorizing Shias and killing Americans while Americans were in Iraq. And then, because of the awakening program, because of their success, they ultimately found that they had a better opportunity to go off and kill Shias and receive very sophisticated weapons if they engaged in the great jihad against the Assad government, because now America was supplying weapons to them, mostly through Kuwait, which was not Kuwait, but Qatar, which specifically singled out the Islamic State as the preferred recipient of American arms. And so we armed them. We made them. And they were very successful there. And then with the success and the weapons they got, they were able to go back into Iraq, now heavily armed, and take over large cities. And when they did, they received American weapons that we had given to the Shiite army of Iraq. And now they're extraordinarily well armed. We made this monster. And the solution now is to bomb with American weapons, the American weapons that they've captured? We're insane. The group has grown. It has merged with the group formerly known as Al-Qaeda in Iraq. No, there was no group ever called Al-Qaeda in Iraq except by American journalists and American politicians. It was the Islamic State in Iraq, and it didn't merge with them. That is who they are. The Islamic State in Iraq became the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and is now simply the Islamic State. It just is a pile of lies presented in the media as if it were true. Under the leadership of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that was a nickname. His name is Ibrahim. According to U.S. intelligence, it numbers in the thousands, including foreign fighters from Europe and the United States. Well, yeah, I guess it numbers in the thousands, if you want to say that hundreds of thousands are thousands. Within hours of that announcement, the Islamic State posted an online message warning that it would attack Americans at any place in response to the airstrikes. We will drown you in your own blood. You know, that is the reason I constantly tell people, you cannot fight a religious enemy and expect to prevail with bullets and bombs. If you try to fight an Islamic enemy, a religious enemy, with bullets and bombs, you will manufacture 100 for everyone you kill. And all you will do is the equivalent of kicking a beehive. You cannot prevail against a religiously motivated enemy with bullets and bombs, with force. The only way to prevail against a group of religious zealots is to expose them with evidence and reason. Now, the difficulty in that today is goes back right to the Ferguson problem. We've been dumbed down. We don't exercise good judgment anymore. We don't access accurate information. Everyone's way too lazy. It's too easy to form opinions. You know, you read one of these articles it's so frustrating to look at the comments that come after. And all of the idiots pretending that they understand, and all they've got is their opinions. We don't have a society where people are willing to invest the time to shed their ignorance and to exercise good judgment by making the connections. In this case, beheading by the Islamic State and beheadings by Muhammad that were the single most important act in the creation of Islam. There is nothing in all of the creation of Islam, even according to the Quran, that was as important as the beheadings that took place in Yathrib, today's Medina. Because at that point, everything changed for Muhammad. He went from losing on all fronts to enriched, to empowered, to feared, to heavily armed, to well-financed, with a group of murderous, bloodthirsty zealots willing to kill anyone he brought before them. The title of the video of the execution murder was A Message to America, and it was produced by the Islamic State's media arm, according to Site Intelligence Group, which monitors such things. A masked man dressed in black is shown standing in an identified desert location besides a prisoner kneeling down beside him. This humiliation is a huge part of Islam. Always has been, so the prisoner has to kneel. With his hands behind his back, subdued. Obama authorized, this is the statement, Obama authorized military operations against the Islamic State, effectively placing America on a slippery slope towards a new war against Muslim, the masked man said. It's true. The solution here wasn't to bomb them again. That's what got us into this problem. It manufactures far more jihadists than it kills. Always does, always will. The answer here was to do something that America has never done. To my knowledge, it's something that would be incredibly novel in the history of humankind. Tell the truth. Expose and condemn Muhammad, the Quran, and the Hadith as being uncivilized. Tell the truth about Islam. Expose it for the murderous, terrorist, savage doctrine that it is. Use the Quran and Hadith to destroy all of Islam's credibility. That was the response. We will do the opposite. This president will exonerate Islam while blaming this on an Al-Qaeda group. Just watch. Just wait. The video then shows a clip of Osama's August 7th announcement, followed by a statement from the prisoner. Yeah, you bombed somebody. It's like in Vietnam. We manufactured more enemies than we killed. All the Vietnamese had to do, the Viet Cong had to do, is point to the sky and say, who's dropping napalm on you, trying to burn you alive? Who's dropping those bombs on you? Who's dropping Agent Orange on you, killing you? Who's the enemy? And any myth that we were there to help immediately dissipates. You don't make friends with bullets and bombs, folks. Our military has become counterproductive. I call on my friends, family, and loved ones to rise up against my real killers, the U.S. government. For what will happen to me is the result of their complicit criminality, he says. He asks his parents not to accept any meager compensation from the same people who effectively hit the last nail in my coffin with the recent aerial campaign in Iraq. What do you expect when you bomb people? Yeah, these are savages. But when you bomb savages on behalf of Zoroastrians, what do you expect? The prisoner also appeals to my brother John, who is a member of the U.S. Air Force, to think about what you're doing. You know, this is obviously agonizing for members of the U.S. Armed Forces, because we know that 650,000 of them have filed claims and are receiving monthly benefits from the U.S. government for post-traumatic stress syndrome. 650,000. That's the same number as we have active duty in the Army and Marines. 650,000. We know that 80 U.S. vets are taking their lives every day at suicide. It means that since the start of the Iraq War, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands. They know that the U.S. military has become the most sexually abusive aspect of American governance, where a woman, during the time that she is in the military, is 8 times more likely to be sexually harassed than if she was in civilian life. And the perpetrator is almost never arrested. They know there's something desperately wrong with the military. They don't need the Islamic State to have somebody read a statement that would have them come to that conclusion. America, you have a serious problem with your military. You ought to read what Jefferson had to say about an established military being the greatest threat to liberty. He says, I wish I had more time. I wish I could have the hope for freedom to see my family once again. But that ship has sailed. I guess, in all, I wish I wasn't an American. End quote. We'll return to this story tomorrow. We're going to transition to Paul's criminal letters.